Here's Johnny.
Thank you. Nights and Sunday, we're taking a break before we jump into the book of Acts. We finished Luke, and by the way, you know, if you look that up online, they're off. We post them in 30-minute studies, and there are 399 30-minute studies going through the book of Acts.
It took four years.
Started almost to the day. So it was off because Sunday's not on the same day. It was the same Sunday.
May
19th. May 19th is the original. Yeah. And it was, what was Sunday? 21st, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
So it was only 2 days off, but it was actually the same
Sunday, maybe the 18th of May,
4 years.
Wow.
Yeah, praise the Lord.
And there are people out there who say they can't find anybody who teaches the Bible. Well, we're here. If you know somebody like that, tell them to go to bbfohio.com. It's free of charge. I always say it, no, just toot my horn. I'm just saying, I wish I'd had access to this when I got saved in 1989, 90, 91, 92. The only way I could get in Wheelersburg, Southern Ohio, when I first got saved, the only one I knew of on radio, there was no internet, was J. Vernon McGee.
That's right.
But that was during the week, and it was while I was working. So I hardly ever got to hear him. And then I started ordering cassettes, and that got expensive. You know, it was anywhere from, according to who you ordered from, $3 to $7 per cassette. And I was making minimum wage. I couldn't afford it. Fast forward now, and what I'm trying to do is to provide what I would have loved to have had
as a baby
Christian. Free of charge. You can support us if you have the means, but it's not necessary. Plenty of other people give so that you don't have to. And that goes for you and anybody you know who wants to learn the Bible. Let's start. Let's sing page 126. I believe this is Brother Doug's favorite song.
At least Rock of Ages.
He said that to me one time.
I like a lot of them.
Rock of Ages.
What page?
126.
Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide.
Top Lady?
Top Lady.
No, Top Lady? I've heard him before. 198 next. We'll sing There's Power in the Blood.
Would you be free from the burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power.
Keep
Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Sing it softly through the gloom when the heart for mercy craves. Sing in triumph on the tomb, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Give the winds a mighty voice, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Let the nations now rejoice, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Shout salvation full and free, highest hills and deepest caves. This our song of victory, Jesus saves, Jesus saves.
Amen. Good singing.
Amen.
What happened to Jenny Holmbaugh?
She's on a mercy mission helping Jessica get online.
Yeah. All right. Onliners, get your prayer requests in. Let me turn the mic over. Oh, well, she didn't turn the speaker on, honey. Can you turn the speaker on? Yeah, we have one. Now you should be able to hear me. That means you probably didn't hear very well in the music, but prayer request sent to bbfohio@protonmail.com. And raise your hand, yeah, of course. Janie will bring around the prayer card and pencil.
Good evening, online. Charmaine Hartman. Can't wait to see you.
And there she is. Get that camera zoomed in while everybody's silencing their cell phone rings. What's going on?
She should just watch it on her phone.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're going to be in 1 Thessalonians 5, so you can get your Bibles open there. And beginning verse 6 when we get there. I thought I'd share this. I don't do this often enough, but
I'm going to say his name properly. Jean Marquis.
Jean Marquis. That's how she says that the French would pronounce that. It's from French Canada, or well, I don't know. Do you know anything about New Brunswick? Is that a French area?
It's after Ontario, then New Brunswick.
Right in the middle.
Right.
Okay.
And as a mosquito is their net.
Bird.
Bird.
Well, Jean.
He might just say.
Jean.
Marquis.
Jean Marcus. Jean Marcus is how it'd be if he was raised in southern Ohio. But, hello, Pastor. Your teachings, which I recently discovered, are like discovering a treasure of gold. That's what I was just talking about. That's how I would feel if I came across our website.
Amen.
Thanks to God for sharing his wisdom through you. Your teachings are simple and uplifting. I thirst for such teachings in our part of the country. But then again, he makes it possible through teachers as yourself. That's the blessing of the internet. Is a curse to most people because they choose to use it that way. But the internet can be a blessing.
Amen.
Thank God for you. Please pass on my regards to my brothers and sisters in your congregation.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah, everybody. All the way up to New Brunswick, Canada. Salute! All right. Grand Falls. Thanks for sending that in. And some of you have sent those in the past. I didn't always read them. And I don't let it go to my head. I tell people 100 years ago, I'd be pastoring possibly a little church like this and not, you know, have any internet or anything going on. So it's not, but it's not just the internet. It's that there are so few churches teaching the Bible today.
Yeah.
So I sat next to a fellow yesterday, or Monday.
Tuesday,
yeah. Tuesday morning, we went to a prayer breakfast and sat next to a fellow, and I won't give too much information that they want to, doesn't really reflect on where he works, but anyway, he had been in the United Methodist denomination, and I didn't know it. And not that I would change what I say if I did, but I didn't know that. And he was talking about things going on. I said, well, just like what's going on in the United Methodist denomination, I think those churches leaving that denomination is a good thing. And he shook his head, you know, and then he told me he had been in that. And he had left, and now he's working for a school and doing other things. But what did I start to tell you about that whole thing? I had a reason for telling that story. But getting back to what was I talking about? You're not paying attention.
No, I am too.
You're as bad as me.
You're talking about your ministry.
Yeah, and that's what I'd gone to a school that he had gone to, and we were talking about that because I could tell that I'm trying to be nice. His chance he's listening. I don't want to say anything to insult him, but I could tell he'd not really sat under good Bible teaching. And there's so many people who, at that age, I was 20, when 20, 21, 22, right in there, when I was still looking at Bible colleges and all that. And I'm thankful the Lord just gave me the discernment and the stubbornness to just say, you know what? I don't find that in the Bible.
Amen.
I'm going to these schools, and the curriculum is hardly anything to do with the Bible. It's all about administration and meeting the requirements of a credentialing committee or board. They're not worried about whether or not what they're doing is biblical. You want to know why those colleges and seminaries are, even the ones that are fundamental, the reason why they're not turning out Bible-believing pastors who teach the Bible is because they're not training them to be Bible-believing pastors that teach the Bible.
Yeah.
And so it's related to the apostasy that we talked about Sunday. So with that, we have a very special guest with us. Spider-Man is with us.
Hi, Spider-Man.
Yeah, he doesn't want us to see it. Yeah, he's a cool dude. Just don't shoot that web at me while I'm teaching. Yeah, John.
Yeah. Well, at the one church that I worked at, down through the years, I noticed almost every kid coming out of Bible college was a Calvinist.
Yeah, that's another problem.
Yeah, I mean, big time.
Yeah. So, if you go to Cedarville, that's what they try to turn you into.
Yeah.
And Bob Jones,
yeah.
You know, same thing. And even Crown College down there in Tennessee, I'm trying to think of other ones, they turn you into Calvinist, if they can. So with that, questions, comments, please hold to the end of the Current Events Update. Headlines in light of Scripture. Fox News continues its fall with its progressive agenda. This was reported this week that Fox News is imposing transgenderism on its workforce. So Fox News has gone all the way with the progressive agenda. And that's what we've always warned you about, is you have to understand that a fiscal conservative, fiscal, not physical, fiscal, F-I-S-C-A-L, means that on the issue of taxes and financial issues like that, They want small government, and they want low taxes and that kind of thing. So a lot of times, Christians are misled into thinking, well, that means they're conservative. Well, there's a lot of those fiscal conservatives who are social liberals, meaning while they like small government and low taxes and that sort of thing, they are for abortion, they're for Sodom, and for gun control, at least to some level. And that's what's going on at Fox News. They have a bunch of neocons and progressive rhinos working there. Target now tries to hide its sodomite agenda. We talked about that on Sunday, how they put right out in front. And I wouldn't dare force you to see these images, so I'm not showing you these. But we showed a video of a woman going around showing the different things they're selling there, including a girl. It says that she spent her time thinking about girls. You remember that?
Yeah.
One of the things they were selling was a one-piece bathing suit that has a feature where you can tuck. That's so that a boy can wear it and not look like a boy, if you know what I mean.
Wow.
And so this guy named Alex Stein went into Target and put that on and walked around the store, and he was dancing and carrying. And I thought it was great.
It's
hilarious.
And ridiculous.
And listen, you know when Jesus said, "Make of your friends of the mammon of unrighteousness." What he was saying was that sometimes the best friends of Christians haven't even been Christians. There have been many times Christians have benefited from the fact that, well, I think Donald Trump is an example of that. And I think others through the years have been involved in, whether it's politics or business, they're not necessarily Christians. I don't know that Sam Walton was a born-again Christian, but back when Sam Walton ran Walmart, it was a whole different world.
Yeah, amen.
And so anyway, that Alex Stein doing that, I think the more the merrier, that people go and just put it right in their faces, you know? Well, what Target's now, they're starting to see their sales slip. They're seeing the boycott hitting them like it did Bud Light. I don't know about you, Doug, but I haven't bought a Bud Light ever since that happened. But Target, they're putting their stuff, they're not taking it down yet, but they're putting it in the back of the stores. I don't know what they expect to accomplish with that. It's not known because it's in the front of the store. It's known because millions of people are sharing it on the internet. So whether they put it where they want, and I could tell them a couple places to put it. But anyway, I just don't care if they even stop selling it tomorrow. I'll never shop at Target. It is owned by a bunch of reprobate sodomites, and I'll never shop there. Major League Baseball continues to bow to Sodom. The most recent is the L.A. Dodgers. And they have been caving to this group of anti-Catholic drag queens. And these drag queens have these wild-looking flying nun type of outfits, only they're very dark and immodest and all that. Well, then this group that they are allowing to, the Dodgers are going to have, I guess, taking part in their pride events. How many days we got till June? June has become the month of hell. They call it Pride Month. We'll just call it Hell Month. And you're going to see it nonstop if you get out of your house. Well, you're even going to see it at the baseball parks, and if no matter where you go. And the Dodgers are inviting this group in. This group recently put on a scene, and I'm not showing you anything more than that, but they had a man hanging from the cross mocking Jesus. And the guy to the left is doing a pole dance, and he actually then climbs up on the cross and does a pole dance on the cross.
Wow.
Blaspheming Christ. And I'm just telling you, I don't know if anybody in here that I'm talking to, but a lot of Christians said all they want is to be able to live their lives.
Right. Sure.
Then it was all they want is to be able to marry. And all they want, let me tell you, what they want is what you read about in the Bible when they tried to rape the angels in Lot's house. That's what they want. And they're not going to stop till they get it or die. And Jesus Christ is going to return and kill them all.
Amen. Amen.
And very few of them are not already reprobate and handed over. There's a chance that some of them might get saved. But most of these sodomites are completely gone. You wouldn't do that unless you were. And the agenda to replace Americans with foreign migrants continues nonstop. You're called racist if you say this, but I don't think they're trying to replace white people. I believe that's what they'll say, that the replacement conspiracy. And they showed a bunch of those bozos down there in Charlottesville with their, what they would call the tiki lights or whatever, and tiki lamps, and they're marching and chanting and saying, "We will not be replaced," or something like, "You will not replace us," or something like that. It's not about white people, it's about Americans. Mm-hmm. They want to replace anybody who's a God-fearing, constitutional, believing patriot. And that's what it's all about. This is an explanation from a cop. "I stopped a vehicle for a minor traffic violation. When I made contact with the driver, I learned he did not have a valid driver's license and was in the United States illegally from Mexico. I placed him under arrest, called ICE to see if they wanted to deport him. Of course not. I called for a tow truck and made an inventory of the items inside the vehicle. Once I opened the trunk on the vehicle, I found hundreds of stolen driver's license and social security cards."
Wow.
He was not rewarded. He was reprimanded for his actions and sent to a cultural diversity training class.
Wow.
And folks, it's been going on ever since Biden was installed after they cheated and stole the election.
Wow.
It's been going on ever since. And we see preparations for communication blackouts. I don't know if how many saw this, but U.S. senators were all given satellite phones that will work if the internet goes down and everything starts to burn here in America. As long as the satellites are still up there, they'll be able to use their phones.
Wow.
They've never done that before. Word got out, then they released a statement saying it was try not to laugh when I tell you this. It has something to do with a response to what happened on January 6th.
Sorry.
That's why they supposed to have given them. So it doesn't have anything to do with that, obviously. So what's going to happen? It's just a matter of question. How close are we to the rapture and tribulation? If we're as close as I think we might be, I hope you're taking a little bit of money and stocking up some canned food and doing things like that, because it could get ugly. The Bible says we'll be raptured before God pours out his wrath. It doesn't say anything about us not going through some hard times before that rapture happens.
Amen.
Very well could. And keep in mind, the Amish did the exact opposite of everything suggested by the CDC, and they've had little issues with COVID. I wonder why. And it's not because they're separate from everybody. They come in contact with people all the time. But they ignored nanny state government rules, and they had very little issues with COVID. Psalm 18:2, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation, and my high tower." Amen?
Amen.
Be informed, pray, and act accordingly. Any comments, questions? Yes, Johnny.
Well, it's interesting that it might be worth mentioning. I listened to Glenn Beck the other day, and he went more in depth on the
Jenny, thing. Jenny, show him my mark. Keep talking.
Yeah, and he apparently I think this was actually directly the transgender thing. And apparently there's that one guy who's designing all the stuff there. And, you know, not surprisingly, I think there's connections to, he has connections to Satan and pretty much everything awful.
That's the report I saw. It was a Satanist that they hired as designer and everything. But there's a lot of other people involved in it, though, that, you know, I think we don't know a lot of what's going on behind the scenes there with that. But I did find out today that, according to the report I read, George Soros has a major holding in Target stock.
Wow.
So that man's just, it's a devil. I just do not expect George Soros ever repent. I believe he's a devil, devil-possessed, reprobate. And he's poured millions of dollars to support the satanic agenda overall. Doug?
I did look up Target because several years ago when I was working for the government, I told you about the boycott of Target because they're against the military, and that's still true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, several good reasons. They're also against, they're also support gun control and abortion. So they're just as evil and wicked. Yeah, Mary?
I don't know how handy satellite phones are available to the public, but ham radio licenses aren't too hard to get.
Yeah.
You can study for the test online.
Yeah. Ham radio really dwindled majorly after the internet came out, but it's probably something that we ought to look into.
Amen.
I got to just keep in contact with people, you know, within a few miles.
Yeah. And it's good if you, if you can even have a CB, you know, in case of emergency. Who? Oh, John?
Yeah. I don't know if you saw the article about Epstein with all those tapes, and he was blackmailing tapes.
Yeah, which have disappeared.
Right, well, the FBI got them.
Yeah, which is why they disappeared.
Which is, and now I've been sharing with a few people, if the FBI has them and Biden's in control, who are they blackmailing?
Yeah.
It hasn't stopped.
Yeah. Yeah, the whole Epstein thing. Jesse Waters, I saw him do a video on it. I never watched Fox News, but I'll watch some of the video clips online when people tell me I ought to. And Jesse Waters did a thing on the Epstein thing. It was really interesting. But they would get people over there, get them with underage girls, videotape it, and then they can blackmail them and control them after that.
Yeah. Well, apparently, according to Clay and Buck, something is supposed to, July or August, is supposed to change everything.
I keep hearing that. There's somebody else on there saying that in the next 5 days, there's supposed to be something that's supposed to vindicate Sidney Powell and the whole election thing. We hear this stuff over and over, and it just never has, you know, never comes to fruition. But
I'm praying.
We hope, yeah. Hope and pray.
Amen.
All right, well, let's open with a word of prayer and then get into your Bible study. I ask Brother Charlie, if you would, open Bible study prayer.
Dear Lord, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for salvation through Christ alone. We thank you that we don't have to rely on our works, but you have paid the full price for our sins.
Amen.
And we thank you that the promises in your word are everlasting, and that we don't have to fear the changes in this world that is getting darker by the moment. We thank you that your word stands forever. And, we pray that you would help us to understand your word as we read and as we study and as we gather to worship you and to just fellowship with other Christians. We pray that you would bless our time and that you would help us to stay focused, to be light and salt in this dark world, and you would just guide and protect each one of us. We love you and we thank you. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray.
Amen.
Amen.
All right. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 6 through 11. Not appointed to wrath is the title of the message. We're going to read those verses. I'll have you read the odd. So I'll begin with verse 6. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. Amen?
Amen.
So all but a small minority of Christians today are fully asleep in these last days. And so the admonition here from the Apostle Paul is even more pressing in our day when he says, therefore, let us not sleep as do others. There's only one person you can control. Amen?
Yeah.
And that's who?
Yourself.
The man in the mirror, as Michael Jackson would say. And, hey, man, even a broke clock's right twice a day. I believe in giving credit where it's due. That's the first time I ever thought about that phrase was that dumb song he sang. The man in the mirror. But that's the one you control. You can't control anybody else. People come up to me and ask me about certain people in my life and family. And what can I tell you? I mean, I can't control them. I wish I could. But all you have to do is go to sleep, spiritually speaking. And Satan will take you for a ride. And that's what he's taking a lot of Christians for a ride these days. People scoff when I emphasize the need to be sober means not on dope. But let us watch and be sober. And there's other times I'll say that, and everybody has in their mind, well, sober means to just be serious-minded.
No.
They might have got that out of a lexicon, but you didn't get it out of the Bible. The very next verse tells us what this is exactly. Let me read it again. But the very next verse tells us that this is exactly what our text is emphasizing. Watch and be sober. What's it mean? Well, read verse 7 again. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. So, verse 7 is the same as verse 6 when it comes to the word sleep. He just uses the same word. Verse 6, what's the contrast between sober and being drunk? It's right there in the text. And yet, I have people all the time try to tell me, well, I don't think that's what it is. It's what the text says.
Amen. Amen.
Sober versus drunk. People act like I'm crazy when I say that, but I'll tell you what I did in my Bible. Circle the words, be sober, and then draw a line to and circle the word, be drunken. That's what it looks like in my Bible right there. Be sober, be drunken, and the contrast.
That's right.
Yes?
Well, the term I've always heard is when someone is drunk, is that let's sober him up.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
The two go hand in hand. You can't miss them.
Now, I know coffee works. Does tea work when you try to sober somebody?
No, I've never tried.
Tasers work. Okay.
Yes, I would do it too.
So scripture was scripture. I want you to see another example of this. Take note of the words connected here in Ephesians 5. Go ahead and turn back a few pages to Ephesians chapter 5. Beginning verse 14. We'll see the same thing. Ephesians 5, 14 through 18 starts by saying, wherefore he saith, awake, thou that sleepest. Same reference to telling you not to sleep, right? And arise from the dead. It's not talking about physically, it's talking about your spirit. And Christ shall give thee light. Verse 15, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. And this is off quoted, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is, read 18 with me, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. A lot of people have memorized that verse, never actually paid attention to the context. The context, yes, it's saying not to be drunk with wine, but the context is that's the flip side of being awake for the Lord. And so he's making that contrast here, that he does not want us, he wants us, I'll put it this way, to make it, let's be positive. He wants us to be sober, sober-minded, if you will. Now, there's the words, sometimes I lay out words, sometimes I write them down, just kind of get a picture, a word picture. Dead, fools, evil, excess, those are the words in your text there. Sleepest, those are sleep, and drunkenness, those are drunk. That's who he's talking about. The dead, the fools, the evil, excess, E-X, excess. That's what it looks like in my Bible. I just wanted you to see that. Every once in a while someone comes and say, well, how do you do that? How do you take notes in your Bible? That's how I do it right there.
Amen.
Very colorful.
Yes.
Just make sure you get the kind of, we've got a pack here I can show you. Be careful of the highlighters you use. They can bleed through and really make a mess of your Bible.
Yeah.
Mine, you can barely see it on the other side. It's that paper, thin paper as well.
Yeah.
And I use particular ink pens that are not going to leave a dent in the paper or bleed through. But look, sleepest, dead, fools, evil, unwise, drunk, excess. Those are all connected in that context. Proverbs 20 verse 1 says, wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging.
Amen.
And whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. And of course, I'll get somebody say, well, you're saying it's a sin because my grandma used to drink a shot of whiskey when she'd have a chest congestion. Well, that's not talking about this, but if grandma can't control it and only use it as medicine, she shouldn't touch it. Paul told Timothy to drink a little wine for his stomach's sake. If Timothy had not been able to stop with a little for his stomach's sake, Paul would have never told him to do that. And there are a lot of people who can't, and they shouldn't touch it. And then other people who claim they can, and they still touch it, and then they don't stop. 1 Timothy 3:8, likewise must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre. Obviously, Paul's not condemning a guy for drinking a little wine because he told Timothy to. But he told him only in as much as it would help you medicinally. Getting drunk, too much. And if you are given to much wine, you shouldn't be a leader in the church.
Amen.
You can see me out there walking around and talking to people on the streets like this. Make sure I'm not just doing what I'm doing right now. It's just kidding. But if I were seriously acting like that, you know, I shouldn't be a pastor. Aged women. That's nobody here. The aged women, likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine. If I found out you drank a glass of wine here and there or something like that, I would warn you and tell you, be careful with that. Better be careful. But if we found out that you were given to much wine, found out you were drinking to excess, that's when it would be a problem. Especially if you were trying to take part in this ministry beyond visiting, you know, just coming once in a while. That's different. If you're going to be a part of the church family and be a part of leadership, drunkenness is a sin. And there are fundamentalist preachers who will tell you that it's a sin to ever drink wine or whatever. I'm not going to add to God's word. I won't go there.
Amen.
But I've told a lot of people through the years, once they made it clear that they can't handle it, it's a sin for you to do something when you shouldn't be doing it. To him to know to do good and do it to not, to him it is sin. And if you know you can't drink just one, Shouldn't ever touch it. There's some people that have a predisposition for some reason, a constitution, that if they just drink one, they get tipsy. Well, they shouldn't drink one then. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Doug?
And then there's two on top of that. If somebody sits down and has a glass of wine, and your brother over here is having problems with it,
yeah,
and you're creating him to stumble,
yeah,
that's wrong.
Yeah. The thing is, I just have to say, I haven't met anybody like that. And I heard that preached a lot when I was growing up. But
I have, where somebody's an alcoholic or whatever they were.
Well, I've seen the problem where if you offer it to them, if you're like, hey, want me to buy you a drink?
But if you're drinking it in front of them and then you create them to want to have it, then that's wrong.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, if you know somebody like that, it'd be wrong. Same thing if you're eating bacon in front of somebody who thinks it's a sin to eat bacon, though, according to, you know. So, let's just get it all out there. that's why I tell people, you got to be careful with that. There's a lot of fundamentalist Christians who live in the cocoon who think that, for example, there are women who think that if they walk down the street in slacks, they're going to cause somebody to fall. There ain't nobody going to fall over that. I've never met anybody look at a woman wearing slacks and backslide. How many of you heard fundamentalist preachers preach that?
Yeah.
Hogwash. You know why they do it? It's an easy amen. You hear these churches, I believe a woman, I look like a woman. I believe a woman in slacks is sin. Amen, amen, amen. You know, that's why they're doing it. Easy amens. That's why I'm trying to give a very biblical, careful view of this from Scripture. But in a lot of churches, they'll go in and preach like, oh, the drink, the devil spit, you know, and that kind of stuff. Amen! Get easy amens that way. But what we're just trying to say, biblically speaking, I mean, we were told, I didn't go to a movie till I was in high school. Because if I went to a movie, someone might see me walking in there and think, I'll bet he's going to that rated R movie. And I was going to see Old Yeller. But I was not supposed to go there. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Boy, you can make that stick to just about anything if you want to.
Yeah.
Now, I'd say if you're caught walking into a whorehouse or a strip club and a bar that's just a dive bar, you know, not like a place like Texas Roadhouse, they sell alcohol, but it's a restaurant. But that was a sin back in the 70s. I don't know what changed, you know. Like the Mormons, the prophet got a word and something changed, you know. In the 70s, you weren't supposed to shop at Kroger if they sold alcohol. We could go to a Kroger in Wheelersburg, where I grew up, because they were dry. But you couldn't go to the Kroger in Portsmouth because they sold booze. You see what I'm saying? And it makes people doubt the other things you believe when you're constantly having to admit that you were adding things to God's Word. So I always say, let's stick to just what God's Word says. Mm-hmm. I don't think God messed up. I think when if he wanted things to be more strict, he would have made them more strict.
Amen.
So this would apply to any substance ingested in any manner that would affect soberness. I know people who can't drink caffeine. I know people, of course, we've talked about medications. Psych meds will do that to you, but even meds that aren't psych meds can make you like, kind of like high. Like people think you're smoking pot. You know, it's just your medicines get you just can't, like, these are slurring, these are a little bit, you know. Well, it doesn't matter what it is, you should pay attention to yourself, and if it's making you fall into a condition where you're not sober-minded, you need to go to your doctor and say, I'm not taking that stuff anymore. And then if you do have to take it, it's like a have-to thing, then you shouldn't be out and about. You should stay home when you're on it. That's just what it says. Drunkenness or being high is a form of madness. People get drunk and they think they're funnier sometimes. They also call it liquid courage. Guy gets drunk, thinks he can just whoop everybody. take a video of him trying to fight somebody. He wakes up the next day with two black eyes, a busted nose, busted ribs and everything. He said, you want to see why you look like that? This is what that liquid courage did to you. You know. So that's the contrast between madness and soberness. Acts 26:25. But he said, I'm not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and what?
Soberness.
Soberness. Contrast being mad, insane, with soberness. And I made that same connection there in my Bible. That's what it looks like. The sober Christian suits up for battle. Look what it says there. Verse 8. Read that with me. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, for an helmet the hope of salvation. That you're suiting up. Now, this points us to the whole armor of God in Ephesians 6:10-18. And we're not going to repeat all that. But we'll refer you to our study. We did 8 hours of study on the whole armor of God.
Amen.
We started in Ephesians 6:10-11. Be strong in the Lord. Verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. That's back in May of 2017. Gird about with truth. Ephesians 6:13-14, the first part of the verse. The breastplate of righteousness, Ephesians 6:14. The shield of faith, Ephesians 6:16. The helmet of salvation, Ephesians 6:17. The sword of the Spirit, also verse 17. Then praying and watching, verse 18. Free of charge. Go verse by verse through Ephesians here and learn something. And we're given this encouragement to be sober and armed for battle. In verse 9, 4. So he said, but let us do what? Put on the armor of God. Why? Verse 9 says, for, read that with me. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's your encouragement. And we don't forget that this is in the context of the pre-trib imminent rapture of chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. That's the the larger context is, he's told us all about how you don't have to mourn like those who have no, or sorrow as those who have no hope. The dead are with Jesus. He's going to bring them with him. They'll rise first when the voice of the archangel and the trump of God calls us up. They go first. Then we which are alive remain shall be caught up together with them in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. That's the context. Then we come down in verse 5. And he's saying, again, he's giving you that promise Charlie mentioned in his prayer. The promises of God. For God hath not appointed us to wrath. That's referring to the rapture text. 10 times. The book of Revelation refers to the tribulation as God's wrath. 10 times.
Amen.
Let's look it up. Let's take a minute and run the references. Revelation chapter 6 and verse 16. Get that microphone ready. I'm going to line people up there. And we'll have Olivia read the first one because I think she's there. Revelation 6, 16, 17.
And said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath has come, and who shall be able to stand?
And it's talking about the great tribulation, and twice it calls it the wrath of the Lamb, and the day of his wrath, both times. We are not appointed to that. How can you teach that we go through the tribulation, the church that Paul said is not appointed to wrath?
Amen.
Darren, you got chapter 11, verse 18?
And the nations were come angry, and thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead that they should be judged, and that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants, the prophets, and to the saints, and them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth.
That's the environmentalist movement, amen, the animal rights movement, all these crazy left-wing Marxist causes. But look at the verse 18, certainly, and the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come. We're not appointed to that. So you ask, what is it? The tribulation. We're not appointed to that.
Amen.
Let's keep going. It's fun. Kim, will you read verse 10? Revelation 14, verse 10.
And thus shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into a cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb.
The wine of the wrath of God. And it's just, and then going over to verse 19, if you would.
And the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth and gathered the vine of the earth and cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God.
Over and over. Johnny, are you there? Chapter 15. Chapter 15, verse 1, and go ahead and read verse 7. Verse 1 and then verse 7.
And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God. And one of the four beasts gave unto the seven angels seven golden vials full of the wrath of God, who liveth forever and ever.
So this is referencing the vials. You'll hear those called the bowl judgments. The Bible calls them vials. They're all called the wrath of God. That's the tribulation. 16:1. Doug, do you have that?
And I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, go ye ways and pour out the vials and the wrath of God upon the earth.
The vials of the wrath of God. That's the seven vial judgments. Mary, do you have verse 19?
And the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. And great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath.
That's all during the great tribulation. And Janie, if you've got 19:15. Have Janie read that.
Is it 15?
Yep, 19:15.
And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God.
So there you go. 10 times referencing to the whole or parts of the tribulation period, always in every case called the wrath of God, the wrath of his Lamb, his wrath. You saw the different ways. It makes it clear that the tribulation period is about, it's not about persecution. And you'll have these people say, oh, you people think you're special or something. You're not going to be persecuted like the rest of the church. No, it's not about persecution. We are being persecuted now. Christians all over the world are being killed, being imprisoned, being beaten to death, or just beaten up. They're losing their jobs. They're being slandered. They're being shunned. Some of us don't even get to see some of our grandchildren because our children are full of the devil and they've gone over to the other side and we're being persecuted because we won't go with them. Don't tell me that I don't believe we're going to be persecuted. But what I do believe is that we are not appointed to the wrath of God. And that's why we believe the rapture happens before that. And then we read this Sunday, Revelation 3:10, the Philadelphian church. All the Christians that will be raptured at the end are Philadelphian believers. Those who are left behind, the professing Christians who aren't really saved, they're Laodiceans. Yep. Jesus is on the outside knocking to get in that church. The Philadelphians are promised in Revelation 3:10, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. That's a reference to that wrath and all the seals, vials, and trumpet judgments, 21 in total, 7 of each, that are going to be poured out on this earth during that 7-year tribulation period. What a lot of people try to do is cram it into the last 3.5, some even to the last like 6 months. And there's no indication biblically. We studied verse by verse through Revelation. The only way you get that and get people to buy that is not teach verse by verse through the book of Revelation. You go and teach a bunch of topicals, this and that, and hopscotch, you know, through the Bible. You know, treat it like a cookbook. But if you go through it verse by verse and just what it says, there's no way that that is all crammed into one portion of the 7 years. As a matter of fact, We've emphasized this because so few people seem to have been taught this. The rapture is the beginning of the day of the Lord, the beginning of the judgment of God. That moment after the rapture is the beginning of judgment.
Amen.
The moment after the rapture will be worse than the moment after a nuclear bomb going off. When you realize you've been left behind, there's not a single believer left on the planet. It'll be the darkest moment in human history since the fall. And everybody, I think it's going to be palpable, as they say. People, immediately after the rapture, there's going to be a feeling of darkness over everybody.
Yeah.
The judgment has begun. John?
Yeah. Actually, when you look at it that way, the rapture is actually the first judgment.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's where it begins.
Yeah, right.
And they try to act like it's no big deal and 3.5 years in before the wrath begins.
No, it starts when we're gone.
Yeah.
Have you ever had
one of those dreams? When I was first saved, and I was not sure of my salvation. You know, there's a lot of people who are saved and don't know it. Saved and not sure of it. And when I was first saved and battling with assurance of my salvation, I had a dream where I was left behind.
Wow.
And in this dream, all the people I loved and I knew were Christians were gone. And I'm running around in my dream. Can you imagine what my sheets look like on my bed? I mean, my dream, I'm running one house to another, yelling for everybody. And my mom's gone. My dad's gone. I hate to tell you, brother, but you were still there. But my brother listens to this. My grandma was gone. All these people were gone. And I woke up and I could feel the darkness that would be there if I had actually been left behind. You talk about happy. When I realized that was a dream, it took me a while to shake it off. But once I got a cup of coffee and a little breakfast and started thinking, wow, I didn't miss it. And then sometime after that, I got assurance of my salvation. Never had that dream anymore.
Now, yeah. Back in the 70s, one of the neat stories I heard from Bible college, this one guy had slept while studying. Desk. So his friends would have and put clothes everywhere, put the shoes where the big bus, and they woke up and went, ah!
Yeah. Doug?
When the church is gone, then we go back to the law.
Yeah. Yeah. It's going to be something else. I'm glad I'm not going to be here.
Amen.
So that leads us then to verse 10. The verse 9 ends, but to obtain salvation, that's what we're appointed to. To obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Read verse 10 with me. Who died for us that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. I'm going to let you get there. I want you to read it with me. Verse 9 ends, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Now read verse 10. Who died for us that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Isn't that something to know that Jesus wants us to live with him?
Amen.
And you don't have any favorites. Every single one of us. He loves us the same.
Amen.
And he wants every one of us to live with him.
Amen.
You know what? I mean, Jesus could say, you know what? I'm going to save you from hell. I got this little planet over here called Kolob. That's what the Mormons teach. And you're going to live on that planet. I'll see you once in a while.
Thank you.
Or once every million years or whatever. He wants us to be with him. He's made a special city. He said in John 14, I go to prepare a place for you.
Amen.
And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Where I am, there ye may be also.
Amen.
He wants to be with us. Now, he has made sure that we will be glorified, no longer have all our hang-ups and all our sins. So you hear people, be your best you, you know? You'll be your glorified you in his presence. So, you know, the apostles got under his skin. They're not getting under his skin anymore. See my point? When Jesus was on earth, he was going away all the time by himself. He doesn't have to do that in heaven anymore. So whether we're living or we die, we will not see God's wrath. No see. But we see Jesus.
Amen.
You know, we talk about this, it's just something, because we can't really even fathom. But what we can do is what verse 11 says. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also you do. God's telling us, 100% sure. He's promised it. We're going to be with him. It could happen any moment. And we're going to be glorified. We'll be as he is.
Amen.
We'll be with him.
Amen.
Forever.
Amen.
Knowing that. If you really believe that and you allow that to become a part of what you are, who you are, your purpose in life, then you can fulfill verse 11. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also you do. If you're carnal, you're getting pulled off into sin, if you're not spending time with the Lord and his word and prayer, if you're in the dumps all the time, if you're always thinking about me, you know, he's poor little me. I don't have as much as those other people over there. Go to Africa for a while.
Amen.
But more than that, get your head straight. Get your heart right. Get your priorities straight.
Amen.
And you'll be able to be a comfort to people instead of people running from you because they don't want to be dragged down. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
I have to preach this to myself a lot. This world is so broken and can drive me crazy. And trying to get the Lord's work done, I'm always banging my head against the wall trying to get the computer software to work and internet websites.
Amen.
Somebody or turns off your power strip.
Amen.
And I just... I make those noises. Just ask her. You can get a witness there. And I just have to just let it go for a while and think about it and realize, you know what? The Lord knows what I'm going through, and he knows I'm trying my best. He knows you're trying if you're trying your best, he knows you're trying your best. He's only asked us to do what we can do. And don't, you know, get ahead of yourself there. All the frustrations of life, don't let them discourage you. Because not only will it discourage you, but you won't be able to fulfill verse 11 and you can't comfort others. It's that important for you to understand. It's not just about you not allowing you to get bogged down, but also you will miss opportunities to be used of God to comfort others if you're bogged down. So don't let it get to you. And what better comfort is there? Amen? What better comfort than to know that we're not appointed to wrath? We could be raptured out of here at any moment. We're going to be as he is. We're going to be with him forever. He's prepared a city called New Jerusalem. And eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor the mind of man imagined what God has in store for those who love him. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time in your word. We do thank you for the encouragement we receive from it. May the Holy Spirit help us to lodge this in our minds and hearts, to live by this, and to let it affect our lives so that we might affect others, that we might be useful to you for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. We're going to sing a new one tonight. It's rare that I can find a song that Jenny hasn't already heard. This is a new one for her. And her Calvinist church didn't sing some of the hymns we sing. So every once in a while we'll sing a new hymn. But so if you don't know this one, just kind of listen along and hum along until you get it. We'll sing it a couple times through. And then you can join us.
Oh, hail King Jesus, oh, hail Emmanuel, King of kings, Lord of lords, bright morning star, and throughout eternity, I'll sing his praise.
hail King Jesus.
Long hail King Jesus.
Amen. All right. Amen. Be seated. All right. Onliners can send in those prayer requests. We've got three or four lined up already. bbfohio@protonmail.com. Raise your hand. Janie's going to collect the cards in the house. As we say goodbye to the onliners on three, one, two, three. See you here, there, or in the air.